Sunday, April the 7th.
Welcome to the Spurlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
We're going to spend the next 3 weeks continuing our Easter theme together. We've been thinking about the stone that rolled away. And at one point, we had this great idea of rolling a massive stone all the way around the church, like Indiana Jones style, and making the kids run in front of it. Health and safety denied it. I know. Jacob would have been up for it, wouldn't you, mate? Come on. But instead, we just thought we'd talk about it in a slightly less dramatic way. But we've been thinking together, haven't we, for the last 6 weeks through Lent about the difference the resurrection makes to us. In fact, it is the point in history where everything changed. To be honest, we could talk about this subject for the rest of our Sundays together until I die, and we still wouldn't cover the depth and the excitement and the difference the resurrection makes. So if you've missed any, do jump on the podcast. Last week's one on heaven was particularly brilliant. And it wasn't me. I'm being nice to Simon for once. It was a great one, so do jump back on to that today. We're going to think today, though, about the difference the resurrection makes to our understanding of truth, to our understanding of truth. How do we get to live now, knowing that the resurrection has happened? Well, it changes everything we know to be true. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I am a new creation. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking good to be a new creation. Looking good. Alice, looking good as a new creation. Jane, great new creation. You see, we are new when we come to know Jesus. We saw it reenacted last week in the baptismal pool. We say goodbye to our old life where we put ourselves first. We go under the water remembering that Jesus died for us. And then we come up out of the water, hopefully. We've never drowned one yet. And we say yes to a new creation, a new start. What we did with Dan last week is a figurative and illustrative example of what Christ has done for us. We are new creations. And there are a few things about the new creation that we get to experience. This is the Message version. Absolutely love this. Now we look inside and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We are now Christ's representatives. Wow. You can look a little more excited. Thank you. You see, the old has gone. The new has come. When I was 16 years old and I became a Christian, for me, these verses were so significant. Because at the age of 16, I had made some absolutely brilliant mistakes that had absolutely affected my education, absolutely affected my relationship with my parents, absolutely had put me on a trajectory, say that with a cold, trajectory, for disaster, absolute disaster. And then in the middle of the night, I heard God's voice and it changed absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. The old in my life had gone and I was a new creation. That's what we're celebrating today. That's what we were singing about. That's what we have been looking at together. So what difference does that make to our understanding of truth? You see, we get to now know that everything God has said is true. The resurrection proved that everything Jesus said whilst he was on this earth was true. He said again and again, I will not be with you for long, or I will rise again, or I am the Messiah. And the disciples probably all nodded, yes, yes, yes. But when he came back from the dead, everything he'd been talking about for those 3 years with his disciples, they went, oh, he told us so. He told us so. He told us so. And they probably then remembered the prophets from Isaiah. Oh, they told us so too. How stupid were we? How stupid were we? The resurrection was the moment where they went, oh, everything Jesus said has happened, was true. Everything the prophets wrote about, wow, it's true, it happened. It happened. I've talked before about how I love Easter more than Christmas. And the reason I love Easter more than Christmas is because without Easter, Christmas makes absolutely no sense at all. Absolutely no sense at all. So, how do we know God's truth? Oh, we've gone ahead. We're going to think today about these things down here. And if you can't see, lift high. All the new Bibles that I've been buying over the last couple of weeks. I love buying books. So I brought you some new Bibles. We've been praying and looking for these for a while. And you say there's nothing special about them. There's loads special about these Bibles. And that's what we're going to learn about today. Because the Bible is God's written truth to each of us. And in the light of his resurrection, as his new creation, we need to know this Bible really well. Now, if you want a good talk on this, go to the one that Jacob did in Feasting February a few weeks ago and listen to that. If you want a bad talk on this, stay with me for the rest of the talk, right? Don't listen to Jacob in the middle of my talk. That's rude. Anyone who's brought their headphones. We're going to dive in together to think about what this book means to us. And so as a way of doing that, we're going to hear three different readings over the course of today. And just for this week, because I'm feeling like we should do something very reverent around the Bible, whenever we have a Bible reading, if you are able, I'd like you to stand as a way of saying, I'm listening, I'm awake, I want to hear God's word. So Rich is going to come and read from Genesis chapter 3 for us. And will you stand as he comes? Not in reverence to him, in reverence to the Bible. Good try, Rich.
So the first reading this morning from the new Bibles is Genesis chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will certainly not die, the snake said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
Thank you. Do you have a seat? So we're right at the beginning of the Bible. You know this story well. The serpent representing the devil is talking to Adam and to Eve. And it's a moment where God's truth that Adam and Eve had been told is questioned. The serpent said, did God really say? And Eve went, and then she repeated what God had said. But something had happened in that moment. It's very clever. A moment of doubt started taking seed in Eve's mind. A simple question then turns into a moment of doubt. It happens all the time in our house because my kids like to ask questions at ridiculous times of the day. Usually when I don't want them to ask me questions like bedtime, Mum, did God really exist? It's 9:30. Or when I'm cooking tea, that's the other moment. Mum, can I have 10 quid? Yes, yes, you can have 10 quid as long as you go away. Did God really say is one of the first questions we find in the Bible, and it's the devil planting a seed of doubt, a doubt on God's truth that Eve had been told. It was the moment where everything changed. It was the moment that thousands of years later, Jesus had to redeem on that cross and through that rolling stone. I wonder where your truth comes from. Each news channel presents the truth in a slightly different way. Each image we look at can be changed by AI or by a computer program. Anyone know where this might be? It's Felixstowe. Has anybody ever seen the sea at Felixstowe look that colour? You've not been to the same Felixstowe as me. Obviously, it's always like that when I go, right? Isn't it? I mean, that's Felixstowe. I'm really sorry. But, you know, you can do anything with a computer. Anything. Even make Felixstowe look beautiful like that. You're all going to show me your, like, photos now, aren't you? It's old Felixstowe, apparently. So, there we go. I wonder where your truth comes from. You see, a lot of our truth is fed to us by the things we consume. The news channels, the newspapers, the Instagram feeds, the Facebook feeds, whatever it is that you consume information with, that is often where our truth comes from. It soon takes hold of us. You think about Instagram, very image-based, and you soon think that everybody's having a better life than you. It's very, very tricky because you're like, oh, they're in an exciting place. Oh, they're in an interesting place. Oh, I'm at home doing the washing. It's very tricky to understand what is true because of all of the world that we are fed by. And that is the world that this question is talking into. Did God really say? Do you know what? There's loads of really good people to follow online who are Christians. But often the pictures are interesting as well because they might give you a Bible verse, but only half the Bible verse. They don't tell you the rest of it. Did God really just say, have a great life? Or did God say, I'm going to give you life to the full, but it's going to be costly? You know, what we can really, really struggle with discovering truth from the things that we look and we see. So what we really need to know is the truth of God. And the Rolling Stone revealed Jesus to be true. And where do we find Jesus's story? We find it in the Bible. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, in the middle of John. And then right at the beginning of the John, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and of truth. So out of our Resurrection Sunday last week, I've got something to ask you. Why don't we build together our lives on God's truth alone? I'm in. I'm going to take what it says in the Bible over what I read online. I'm going to take what it says in the Bible even over what other people say to me. I'm certainly going to say what it says over the Bible over what Satan tries to tempt me with. Standing here and saying that sounds quite easy, but we all know that we are bombarded again and again and again with all kinds of different truths. So, what does the Bible have to say about itself? We're going to stand again and Rich is going to come and read from Matthew chapter 7. Let's stand.
The second reading from our nice shiny new Bibles, Matthew 7:24-28. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The wind came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash.
And the winds came up and the house fell flat. No one else sang that. Yeah. Probably one of the most famous parables in the Bible, mostly because we colour it, we fuzzy felt it, we sing it in primary school and in kids' church. But it's such a simple parable that shares the most simple truth. We need to be a church and we need to be individuals who stand on solid rock, the truth of Jesus. We need to not only look at the Bibles and go, aren't they pretty? We need to know them. Now, at this point, I nearly did a Bible quiz. A few groans, which is why I didn't. Oh, a few people, I mean, Sarah would have loved that, if I'm honest. Maybe that's another talk. Instead, I'm going to tell you a Bible quiz that happened with a group of children in Caithness in Scotland, okay? They were asked a number of Bible-related questions. They're primary age, so 5 to 11. And these are some of their responses, and they are absolutely brilliant. Person one wrote, in the first book of the Bible, which is called Guinness, Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Person two, Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Person three, the first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. This one, I'm going to have a straight face. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. The seventh commandment is thou shall not admit adultery. A smaller child wrote, Solomon was the son of David. He had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. Christians only have one spouse. And this is called monotony. My personal favourite, this is something I never thought I'd say in church, just so we're all aware, okay? And it is going on the podcast. The Jews were a proud people and throughout history had problems with unsympathetic genitals. Genuine Bible questions asked of children. And they are brilliant, aren't they? I'm hoping that amidst that there were a few right ones, questioning the RE lesson of those schools quite seriously right now. But biblical knowledge is so important. We talk a lot about God speaking through the word, and absolutely that's true. We need that. But we also really need to know the Bible. Because when the devil says, did God really say that? We can answer, yes, he did. Yes, he did. I've been watching the Pilgrimage on BBC One, BBC Two. I don't know if you guys have seen it. They get a group of very Z-list celebrities together and take them on a pilgrimage. They're going through Northern Wales on a pilgrimage to various churches over the course of, I think, 10 days. These are people of no faith or different faiths, and it's fascinating. 3 episodes, well worth your time. But within the first 20 minutes of the first program, you become completely aware of how most people have no understanding of who Jesus is. There's one chap on the recent episode who is an actor, and he was on The Only Way is Essex, but he trained at Eton. So you would expect him to have a fairly decent education. And someone said to him about Jesus living and walking on the earth. And he said, was Jesus really a historical figure? And everyone went, yes, there's loads and loads of evidence. He said, I never knew that to be true. And it's a moment, you can see it on the TV, where he just goes, oh, if Jesus is a historical figure, maybe other things he said are true too. Me and my Sam are reading The Case for Christ, which is a challenging read with an 11-year-old at bedtime. But it's amazing because it gives you all of the historical evidence that there is for Jesus living on this earth. It's a fascinating read, especially if you like history or archaeology or Jesus. We need to have a strong biblical literacy. What happens upstairs and in our youth work is amazing. These guys are teaching the Bible and putting firm foundations in. But that's an hour, 2 hours a week. We need as parents to be making sure that our kids are reading the Bible. We also need to be making sure that we each other are reading the Bible and not just reading our favorite passages, but the hard ones, the difficult ones, the ones that we know we need to get a grasp of. Why? Well, the Bible tells us to. We just read that in Matthew chapter 7. But also science tells us to. There was a large study of 40,000 Christians in the northern states of America. And they were asked questions around the frequency of reading the Bible compared to their well-being and lifestyle. Those who read the Bible once or twice a week, so basically they came to church and opened the Bible, said that there was no obvious effect on their well-being or lifestyle from reading the Bible. So that's those who read the Bible once a week. Those who read the Bible four times plus a week spoke of a massive change. So four times, that's four times in the week, not just a Sunday. 30% of those people said they felt less lonely. 32% of those people said they felt less angry. 40% of those people said they felt less relationally bitter. 61% of those people said they struggled less with an addictive behavior. 61%. And 60% said they felt less spiritually dry. That's amazing. It's great to open our Bibles together on a Sunday, but those who commit to reading it day on day, even if it's just a couple of verses, your life will be changed. So, as Rich has helpfully said, we got some new Bibles for church. Aren't they pretty? We only got 20 to start with. And we know that lots of you read your Bible on the phone. And we know a lot of you've got your own Bibles at home. And we know that lots of you read or listen to your Bible. I'm listening to the Bible in a year at the moment. Made it to day 92. I'm really happy with that. But we also wanted to have some physical Bibles here in church. Our other ones had fallen apart in all kinds of ways, been used as doorstops, all kinds of things. We wanted to get some new ones in. And they're not going to stay here in the church. They're going to be in our welcome area. Because we believe that reading this can change people's lives. It can make them less angry, less lonely. Wouldn't that be amazing? So they're going to live out there. And these Bibles, we would love to see used. I mean, they look lovely now, don't they? No one's bent the spine. It's all very lovely. We'd love to see them being used. So maybe when you arrive in church, you want to pick one up and bring it in and use it. I'm really happy that you doodle along the sides, something that God's saying. I'm really happy that you use this Bible well and then pop it back on the shelves. But I'm also hoping that if you pop in the week, or you're at Elevenses or something else, and you just think, do you know what, I've got 5 minutes. You might come in and just sit and read the Bible as well. But I'd also love to encourage you, if you use your phones, which I do all the time, I use the Bible on my phone all the time, to really engage with it. or I've started using it on my iPad because I haven't got Instagram on my iPad, and that helps me a lot because I don't go from the Bible to Instagram in no time at all. I've started colouring things in. I know lots of you use YouVersion and you highlight things. This is a good way of engaging with the Bible. And what we're going to do right now is I'm going to pass these around, and I'd like you to gather in small groups, all grabbing a Bible. And I'd just like you to pray for the Bible, but also for each other, that we are going to, together, we're going to grow in knowing this book over the next 6 months. That together, we're going to know something about this Bible that we didn't know by Christmas. It's a way of kind of saying, God, we really love this book. We're really committing ourselves to read it. We're really encouraged by the fact we've got new Bibles in the church. So, why don't you grab a couple of people around you? I'm going to start sort of heading 10 back that way, a few back that way. Grab a Bible and just pray for it and pray for each other that this year we're going to grow in understanding this book better. Thank you for your Bible, your word of life to us. May we be people and a church who build our lives on your truth. So when the questioning comes, did God really say that? May we say yes in certainty, because we know your word. We live your word. We know it in our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. And we pray for these new Bibles. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that whenever they're opened, you come alive to people. That people will find you and know your comfort, know your joy, know your sustaining, know your truth, know your salvation through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to have one more reading together, because I massively believe, and I know you guys too, that these Bibles can roll the stones of unbelief away. So will you stand with me while we have our final reading from Acts chapter 8?
If you'd like to follow the third reading from the church Bibles, it is now on page 1101. So Acts 8 verse 26. Are you there, Joel? Good, cool. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open up his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
Please have a seat. Love this verse. Love this chapter. So we've got the Ethiopian, a very important official in charge of the treasury. I need to be friends with people like that. And he's reading the Old Testament scriptures by the road. Philip comes along and he says, "Do you know what this means?" And together they open up the scriptures and he introduces them, Ethiopian eunuch, to Jesus, and he is baptized. He's all in right then. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on this set of research called Talking Jesus. And it was a large set of people being asked, and they were asked, where would people go to find out about the Christian faith? And a staggering 22% of non-Christians said they would go to the Bible. That's a change from when they did this in 2015, where I think they said 11% of people said they would go to the Bible. So people are wanting to read this more and more than they used to. It's exciting times for us Christians. I have to say, having watched this pilgrimage thing this week, it's again made me go, wow, the world needs Jesus. There's a beautiful moment in the last session which talks about death, the last episode, and how people cope with grief and how they as a group find something of God in their grief. And honestly, I just wanted to be on that beach with them and say, can I tell you about how Jesus can help you? And do you know what? People are finding out about Jesus through reading the Bible. And so we've done something else with the money that was given for these Bibles. We've brought 100 of these. 100 felt a little scary as I put it in to the basket. But these are the Gospel of Mark, and we've got 100 of them. And we would love, between now and Christmas, to give 100 of these away. I don't want any of these left by our Christmas carol services. I would love us not only to give them to someone and say, use this as a doorstop, bit of a rubbish doorstop to be fair. I would love us to take them away and give them to someone and say, can I read them with you? Or, do you know what, why don't you have a little read and we'll meet for a coffee in a few weeks' time and we'll talk about it. Or have a read and we'll have a Zoom call. Or have a read and come to church with me. Or whatever it is. I would love us to commit to give these away. We're going to put them in the welcome area with the new Bibles and a very nice little piece of paper that will be laminated when I get the laminator out that says, please take one home. We really love you to read one. We'd really love to talk to you about it. But I would love these to be given away, not just to go on the fire, but so that people have their stones rolled away and they become new creations. So we've got one more prayer thing to do. There's 100 of them. There's not 100 of us. You're going to have at least 2 each. We're going to together pray for these Bibles, and we're going to pray that people have their own personal stones rolled away and they become new creations from reading about Jesus. Are you in? We're going to give them out. Get together again with a couple of people and let's get praying. I'll start at the back. Jacob, you start at the front. There you go. Yeah, just give them out. Yeah, go for it. Just hand some out, guys. So take those Bibles in our hands. Lord, we thank you for these truths. The story of your son, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, as these go into other people's hands, we will see people find hope and joy. We pray that they will find comfort. But most of all, Lord, that their stones will roll away, whatever that is for them, and they will find you. And we pray for each other. May we be bold and brave to give away your word, to read it with others, to not just preach the truth, but to live it so that others ask questions of how we live. And then may we be able to give them these words that show who you really are. And so we pray for these Bibles, and may we see salvation after salvation through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we come into land and as the band come up for the next song, I wonder what God's saying to you today. Perhaps when I was talking about increasing your Bible knowledge, you thought, do you know what? That's what I'm going to do this year. There is absolutely stacks of ways to do that. Do soap. I put that Bible, that web page up. burlington.church/soap. There are Bible reading plans. There's ways to read the Bible, all of that on there. Perhaps you use the YouVersion app. You could use Lectio 365 if you've got a computer. Or you could do the Bible in a Year, which is a physical book or an app as well. There's all kinds of ways to increase your Bible knowledge. If you don't know how to do that or you want some encouragement, then please, please see me today and I would love to help you with that. Or give me a ring. Perhaps when I was talking about did God really say that, you were a bit kind of like, oh, I don't know actually what God says. I'd like to know more. Maybe that's your response today. And I wonder who you should read the Bible with, who you should hand one of these to. Perhaps when we were praying for that, someone popped to mind and you thought, do you know what? I'm going to just give somebody one of these Bibles. Please take one today. It'd be amazing if all 100 go by next week. I might have to buy some more. But there's lots that we could take from what I've been talking about today. So why don't you stand? And we're going to sing the song Promises. And as we sing it, maybe use it as a commitment prayer to discovering God's promises. Maybe as a thank you prayer for the promises that make such a difference to your life. Maybe as we're singing it, you're thinking of someone else that you long to know the promises and truth of God. Maybe use this as a prayer for them, praying that they will know the promises of God today and into this week. But Lord, we just pray now that as we sing this song, we can unpack what you've been saying to us in the last half an hour. And that together we will be people who know your word and live it. In Jesus' name.